comfortable coming out and saying these things, but they'll tell me in secret. They'll say, yeah, yeah, you know, Jesus too, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Why don't you write a book about that?
In the book of Acts, he goes up on a cloud.
That's right.
If we go back even further to the oldest religious text we have, the ancient Egyptian pyramid text from 2400 BC, we see the pharaoh's soul is guided by the priests through the seven arit, also called, you guessed it, palaces. Again, with the priests chanting mantra-like prayers and the deceased pharaoh being given the required passwords and amulets to pass safely through the gates of these seven palaces. In the Mithras liturgy found in Greek magical papyri, an initiate employs breathing techniques, visualizations, chants, and ceremonial rituals to ascend through the seven heavens, again being confronted at each by a gatekeeper who had to be supplicated with the proper passwords and signs. And in Islam, there are seven earths and seven heavens. And in Chinese Shanqing Taoism, one again uses breathing techniques, visualizations, mantras, and ceremonial rituals to send one's soul out of the body and through the heavens. And there are specific incantations and talismans for each level. Compare all of these to near-death experiences and psychedelic experiences like DMT, where people come back from the experience saying that the place they went was more real than real. The pervasiveness of this idea, even amongst drastically different cultures and people with no background in mysticism, strongly indicates that the concepts are downstream of some sort of objective reality.
So we see this metaphor of forgetfulness and of veiling across different religions. And then you can even see other interesting metaphors, like in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a metaphor that the soul puts on the body or an identity like a series of clothes, garments, and then it takes them off, just like you would take off certain clothes that you're wearing. Mm-hmm. And it turns out in the Sufi traditions, Rumi is using almost the exact same metaphor, right? He's saying the soul takes on the body, is clothed by the body. Mm-hmm. It's like he's putting on clothes. And you start to look at all these different metaphors, and then you ask yourself, I mean, too often I think scientists will just dismiss these. Not just scientists, even social scientists and religious scholars within academia are trained to just dismiss these as stories. But what if they were telling us something that is actually happening, but they didn't have the language necessarily to describe it in a more technical way?
Yep.
So what would they do? They would use metaphors, right? And so they had to use a metaphor that would make sense to people at that point in history. So 2,000 years ago, you could easily understand the metaphor of putting on a set of clothes, right? Or this idea that the world is an illusion.
Yeah.
Maya is a term that's used in the Sanskrit and Buddhism and Hinduism as a key part of their cosmology, that the physical world isn't real. And so if you look at the term Maya, it actually means something a little more subtle than just illusion. Mm. And so one of the things I think we're dealing with is that we're talking in English and we're translating all these terms, but we don't always capture some of the more subtle meanings that were attached to it. So Maya is not just illusion, it also means the power of illusion. Mm. So it's the power by which the gods, let's say, can make you think this world is real. But it turns out it's even more subtle than that. And someone once described it, I think the best description is, he said, if you go to a magic show and there's a magician on stage and you know he's not really sawing that woman in half, right? You know it's an illusion, but yet you're like, oh my God, wow, that's cool. That's the reason you're there to enjoy the show is you actually make the decision to kind of suspend your disbelief in order to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And so that's the more subtle.
Blue pill.
Yeah, exactly. You take the blue pill rather than the red pill, right? Yeah. You're actually deciding that you will be fooled by this world. Mm-hmm. And turns out that concept, you know, it's not just an Eastern concept. It exists in some of the Judeo-Christian traditions as well. But in the Islamic traditions, there's actual verses that say, we have set up this world for you as a game, as a pastime, as a sport, right? And that it is a particular kind of delusion. It uses a particular word, el-gururi, and it has another word in front of it like matau, which actually means it's an enjoyable delusion. Mm. Like the whole world is an enjoyable delusion. Now, we all know bad things happen in this world. Mm. So why would these scriptures be calling it an enjoyable delusion or a magic show or a game or a lila, the play of the gods? which is another one of the Hindu terms that they use. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because that's how enjoy is, like, quote unquote, right? When you go to watch a horror show, yeah. a horror movie, I mean, you're watching people like hack each other up and doing all these terrible things and you're enjoying it. Why? It's because it's part of the illusion and part of the story. And I think the old metaphors are of the world is a dream, the world is an illusion, the world is a stage play are all powerful metaphors. But we live in a time when we have more advanced technology. Mm. So we can use new metaphors that perhaps describe it better. It's like a movie. You have a script, but you can change the script if you want. And there's other people that are in there with you. We're all the actors, but we're also the audience watching ourselves. Yeah. You basically say we're a massively multiplayer online role-playing video game. Mm. That is, I think, the best metaphor to date for this thing called reality that might be too hard to explain in words. Mm. It might be ineffable. Lilla, lilla, gumanya, lilla, 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 l